Your my punk for two of your punks. Yes. I'll raise you one punk.
Or like an hour with my punk. That's how I would do it. I would rent a punk
by the hour. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, right. You keep your punk.
I know how I'd be in prison. I'd be the pimp. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I have some advice on advice.
Okay, cool. So advice on advice is a segment where we go on the internet and we find advice that we think is unqualified and stinks.
Yes.
And we improve upon it, hence advice on advice. So Katie's got some awesome advice today. I'm scared to look at it because I see the words lovers and touch. And I'm already scared.
I know. All right. This is by Rowan Pelling.
Okay. That doesn't sound right.
I know.
Okay.
Okay. The question. When I was 20, I had a brief fling with an older lover who would massage my feet, neck, and ears before sex.
This is a dude saying this?
No, this is like the column is from, I guess, a dude.
Because I know most dudes that I've ever known do not like their feet touched.
No.
At all. I don't know why, because I love it.
I know. It's like the best thing.
A man doesn't like it.
Why?
I don't know. Gentlemen, if you care to write us in and let us know why.
You don't want your feet touched?
Are you ticklish, or is it just weird for you to have a woman
touch
your
feet? Is it just like, why are you wasting your time down there? Yeah. There's other things that need attention.
Or it's while you're down there.
Yeah.
Only the feet are getting rubbed. That's a problem. Yeah. Okay, so carry on.
Okay. He was my first love, and two decades on, no other lover has turned me on or touched me so exquisitely.
Mm-hmm. Exquisite. That's, sure. Okay.
My current partner gets grumpy when I talk about it and says, massage ain't my thing. Should I give up on my quest?
No. First of all, gentlemen nowadays know they need to massage a foot.
They do. Come on. They do. And not just in the beginning. It's not in the first 3 months. It still goes on.
It goes along with, remember Steak and Beach Day?
Yeah.
That's preceded by many a foot rub.
Yeah, you guys don't know, like a foot rub will put a woman's mind in another direction.
Yeah, in another direction. Maybe even closer to Steak and Beach Day.
Even when it's over, then it's like, hey, that guy rubbed my feet last night. Guess what I got to do something for him.
Yep, exactly.
So the more foot rubs you can fit in, guys.
Probably the more you're going to get, you know, in return, I would say. And don't stop rubbing those feet, gentlemen.
Don't underestimate how many times you did it either.
Yeah.
Okay, the answer is, as I grow older, I've begun to believe it might be something of a blessing if your first lover isn't at all accomplished.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
No, really?
Yes.
I don't mean that you want him to be hopeless in bed. Merely you might wish that there's some space for improvement.
So yeah, but you don't want to get your world rocked by a John Holmes character when you're like 17.
Why
and then
not?
Later on end up with like regular Joe Schmo.
But don't you want your first time, you don't want it to be like a disappointment.
No, it shouldn't be crazy town. Like things should get unzipped before it's over. But I mean, you know what I mean? You don't want, because it's just like a letdown. You know what I mean?
Okay. But she says, you might wish for there's some space for improvement so your love life can blossom with the passing of the years.
Yeah.
You never know how much time you have.
That's true. You know, like strike while the iron is hot. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow.
Nobody in their prime wants to keep on harking back to the golden age of passion long disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is there a certain amount of good sex that you can have, though? It's like, I blew it all from 17 to 20.
I guess. Well, I mean, if it's really amazing right away, then that person can either, you know, just enjoy that and work back up to it, or they go on a lifelong weird-ass quest for, like, the best booty on the planet, and they go nuts.
But
it's a one-woman show. At the Hollywood Fringe.
Ah,
yeah.
Where is this?
Where's the booty?
Where is it?
Yeah, where is it?
It's my life we're talking about. Yeah. Somebody service me. Okay, she goes on to say, he goes on to say, but you're hardly the first person to talk yearningly of your first love. Is yearningly a word?
I don't know. It is now. And that's how it's done, apparently.
Quite a few people appear to deify their first sexual partner, leaving them unable to move beyond that experience in any useful fashion.
Mm-hmm. I can't. Was it all that? Are you sure it wasn't just because it was the first time?
Yeah.
The first time I had Indian food, it was amazing, too. And
but
I'll never
deify?
Forget it. But, yeah, I'm not going to deify it.
I look back at fond memories, like,
But you weren't, your world wasn't blown?
You know, you don't...
Move on.
Yeah.
Move on.
Some people fetishize the past to a point that the present day can never match up.
Mm-hmm.
Fetishize is really, the definition of a fetish really is that, a sexual fetish is that you can only get off on the one particular fetish that you have.
That was it, the past. That's it. That's their one shot. Boom. That's over.
But she wasn't saying, well, it's not.
It is now. She can't go back
but
to
fetishize
it.
But fetishizing, like, she's not really fetishizing
it. It's a shame.
And she's just looking back, like, why can't I have that? Not saying I can only have an orgasm if my feet are rubbed.
Well, it's like those people who their fetish is to, like, to be eaten. Like, physically cooked and eaten. You can only do that once. You know? You can choose the moment. It's kind of like this. But not at all.
These nostalgic types hide in bygone years because it's simpler than participating fully in the here and now. What?
I think she's just saying she hasn't had it so good in a long
time. Yeah, or the advice should be, this is where you go to get some good lovers. This is where you go to get the foot rub that you need. Yeah. These are the people that want to do that.
Cultivate, yeah. Although, you know, that might be illegal. Who knows? Look at the picture doesn't look very good.
The picture
it's a picture of a woman looking down, and the guy's giving her sort of an approach back rub.
And he's like, he's more like, he looks like he wants to snap her.
I think he's just very clinical looking.
Yeah.
And the woman looks unsuspecting.
She's like, he's going to give her an adjustment, like chiropractor.
Yes, he's going to get rolfed. She's about to get rolfed. Bad stock footage photos.
Oh, and then it goes on to say, I would advise you take a less rose-tinted view of this long-gone relationship. I'm sure the sex was intense and passionate.
Piss on the relationship.
Yeah, rub it in. Yes. Remember that when you had the sex that was intense and passionate?
Forget about it.
And you don't have it anymore?
You know what? It wasn't all that. You're just making it a big deal in your mind.
It wasn't because you...
And nothing happened. Guy came on his own shorts, probably. Or a girl, whatever the situation was. And now you're making a big deal out of it like it was, you know, Seymour Butts 3. It wasn't.
This lover was older and more experienced than you, so you probably invested him with a near occult degree of sexual sophistication.
Mm-hmm. Why not just go for older partners?
All right. Why not find a guy who's the same age as the guy would be?
Yes. As a guy, no.
Now.
You gotta find the same guy. Does he have a brother?
Yeah.
Like a younger brother?
Right. Yeah, a younger brother. And be like, look, I have this foot. That needs to be massaged.
Why is it a foot? Was that a
that
part
was
of the
That was the part of the thing.
Oh, okay.
She
I thought we
the
put
massage.
That in.
No. No, because we always put feet in things.
Gentlemen, never forget the foot.
Yeah.
And ladies. We're equal opportunity here.
Yes, I think this advice stinks. That
it's
it didn't
not very good.
Yeah. It was like trying to make her feel a little bit bad. Like, oh, you're deifying.
Yeah.
And with your fetish.
She just had a fond memory of it. They put it away. It's never going to happen again.
Just, and you should find somebody else.
Yeah. Move on.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
Well, I have a piece of advice, and it's, you know, somewhat foot and sex related. This is about how to conduct yourself in prison.
Oh, this is really, this is something that I think we should address.
So it says here.
I'm not planning on going.
Me either. No, who is?
But you know what? Once you're there.
You never know.
And so.
Prison is something we all want to avoid, but the time may come when you have to spend some time there, whether you're guilty or not. Here's a list of top 10 things you should remember if you find yourself in the big house. People still say that?
I guess.
In the
that guy does.
If you follow these rules, you should manage to make your stay tolerable.
First of all, don't say big house.
Don't say big house. The joint. Or inside. I think people say inside. I have to ask Greg.
The inside. What? Yeah. What's the cool phrase?
Yeah.
Today
well, ask Greg
for prison.
I think it's the inside. So number one, do not get involved with punks.
Ooh.
Now he's not talking about guys with spiked hair. Apparently, a punk is somebody's bitch or a girlfriend.
So the bottom.
Yeah. The bottom. So it says don't get
Why?
Involved with the punks
because you oh like to hang out with them.
Yeah. Don't hang out
be
with
one
them.
Of them. Okay.
Is it while the short term benefits may be appealing
because they're
you know,
just not gonna.
Well, it says here, those punks are probably looking for another punk on the way down. So they're on the bottom, but they like to slip another punk under there.
Okay.
And that punk could be you. So at first it may seem okay because you're getting protection, you got friends, you're getting cigarettes. But then
nice.
Turns around, you can become a virtual slave. You can be gambled away or sold down the river. Can you imagine it? Like, it's not, this is what's so weird. It's not bad enough that you're inside.
You don't know me. Yeah, I actually do.
That you're inside. You're already locked away, but it gets worse because you could quickly be sold.
Oh, my God.
How horrible. I think everyone should just stay in their own cell, mind their own business. Also, they said don't get involved with anyone else's punk because of jealousy.
Right. Emotions run high in prison.
It
gets complex.
You better get your hands off my man. 2, do not discuss your crime. Now, I think this is an obvious one.
Right, because isn't there a hierarchy of yes. crimes?
And if you've done anything that's a sex crime, forget it.
Oh, why? What are they going to do?
Nobody likes those guys.
Really?
Nobody. Those are the guys that, if you're accused of a sex crime.
Like, really?
Really? If you're accused of a sex crime, you automatically should ask to be, like, in your own pen area. Like,
because what are they're going to get you.
They're going to get you right away, because they don't like that. Because, like, even bank robbers, no one likes someone who's a sex criminal.
It's like,
no one's into that. You know, they want to differentiate between what they did, you know, a basic B&E,
okay,
Grand Theft Auto, and what you did for nagling somebody.
Yeah, so you want to, all right.
Yeah, so you have to keep it on the DL. It says, do not get involved in gambling. Now, I didn't know all this was going on while I was in prison.
What are you gambling with?
Punks.
You're my punk for 2 of your punks.
Yes.
I'll raise you 1 punk.
Or like an hour with my punk. That's how I would do it. I would rent a punk
by the hour. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, right, you keep your punk.
I know how I'd be in prison already, the pimp. I already have a business going by the hour. This is don't gamble. This is a no-win situation. Either you cannot afford to pay your gambling bills, or you win and you make the wrong people angry. Yes, what are they gambling for? With what?
What kind of games? Yeah, right. Look. We used to, at a restaurant that I worked at, we had coasters.
Mm-hmm. And did you make cards out of those?
Yeah, we drew on the back of the coasters, the deck of cards.
Big House style.
Yeah. And we sat back when it wasn't
busy. Were the bus boys the punks?
But then I worked in, they also made their own beer mm-hmm. on site, so we had the restaurant and
that
the beer.
Not the employees, the restaurant.
The restaurant, okay. Yeah. And,
that'd be pretty cool.
And so there was a guy named Marvin who was really sketchy that worked, that was one of the brewers.
Big Marv.
And so we made the Marvin card, and that was the wild card.
Did he see it?
No.
It sounds very jellic. I like it.
Yeah.
You guys didn't do any gambling?
No, we never. I mean, we just played. But when the Marvin card was dealt,
everybody knew what was up.
Yeah.
Do not collaborate with the guards against other prisoners. This is just like, do these opportunities probably arise?
Yeah.
Don't tell on another prisoner, and don't be disrespectful. Do not become indebted. And here's another one I like. Don't stare at another prisoner.
It's a good advice.
That's just good advice anywhere.
If prisoner or no prisoner.
Yeah. Avoid, always walk with your head facing forward. A stare that lasts a second long can become the target of violence. I always hear people that he looked at me crossways.
Yeah.
He looked at me too long. I was watching last night. I finally saw Men in Black because it was free on cable. And there's a scene where Will Smith is staring at the Tommy Lee Jones character. Mm-hmm. And he says, and this is a line I'd like to use, will you lose something over here, buddy? If someone's staring at you for a long time. The last thing they have, do not use drugs. Apparently, it's like
a party
in prison.
There's gambling, there's sex.
It says work out.
That's nice.
You got to work out. You got to get big. And then keep your mouth shut.
Yes. Wow.
I had no. So this was on like a regular, like, website, like a complex or like men's health kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Apparently, this must be for, like, if you're a white collar criminal. I bet that's something you don't want to tell people either. Like, if you go into a hard ass jail and they're like, what'd you do? And you're like, investment fraud. And
they're like,
you're about to be a punk.
Oh, you're one of the ones that got my mama's house foreclosed.
Either that or you could start the gambling ring. Because who knows better than you?
You're right.
Right? I like it. Anyway, so 2 pieces of advice. I think that you might have some tales from Der Campfire, am I correct?
I do.
All right. Tales from Der Campfire is a segment that we do where we take an urban legend and then a term I heard called fake lore. Have you heard of this?
Fake lore.
Urban legends, tales of the paranormal, ghost stories, and we retell them here as we gather around the digital campfire for tales from Der Campfire. So Katie's got a tale.
So gather around, yes. Listeners.
Close.
Okay. So this one is called Attacked in Sleep.
Okay.
First,
I have a clue as to what's going to happen here.
First, let me tell you, I used to be a complete skeptic and had no reason or desire to believe in demons.
Mm-hmm. But the first time it happened to you, you went straight to the internet and wrote it down. Okay.
My wife and I, issues all started about a year ago and started with my wife. She would
of
tell...
Of course. What a bitch. No one likes Susan. All
right. She would tell me she was attacked by a demon in her sleep.
Wait, she would tell me that she was attacked?
Yeah.
It sounds like she's a lying bitch.
Yeah.
She would go on about what had happened was
while she was
asleep. Apparently,
yeah, allegedly
demons came up in here.
I wrote her off as PMSing or just weird.
Really? Because that's not a common PMS.
Yeah, it's like my wife is being attacked in her sleep. You're PMSing and you're weird.
Yeah,
you're weird.
Are you on the rag? Do you mean there's a poltergeist in here?
So weird.
That's bizarre.
Getting attacked in your sleep.
No, usually bloating, headaches, quick temper.
Yeah.
Feet need to be rubbed. Okay.
Yeah. Until I experienced it, of course.
Okay. Now it's real. Now that a demon slept with him, he's like, wait a minute.
I was sleeping in our guest room as I was sick. Nothing to do with the PMS.
I was staying at a friend's house 5 nights out of 7.
I was half asleep when out of nowhere, I saw from the corner of my eye my blanket raise up and thin down.
What does that mean?
As if a gust of wind had caught it.
Yeah, you know.
Down. I immediately felt a presence. Not only did I feel a presence, I was paralyzed. Huh? I couldn't move or talk. I tried to yell, but couldn't. This lasted what seemed like 5 or so minutes, but I really don't know how long it was.
I couldn't look at the clock. I was paralyzed, remember?
Not just PMSing.
No.
Or being weird.
Yeah.
I felt something, not a hand, but felt more like a tail or a long finger go over my back and butt.
Excuse me, sir? Really? Really? Really?
Yeah, what they call it? They call it like ass play.
Yeah. I felt okay. So he was paralyzed during this, right?
Yeah,
or had he become unparalyzed, but he thought he should just lay still anyway.
Yeah. I didn't know how I knew to do this, but I started trying to yell out God's names. Jehovah. That's what it says here. No, at first I couldn't get it out, but then I started to get the name out.
Okay.
But it wasn't my voice. It was like
a short one.
It was like a raspy, ugly, monster-like voice. Weird.
Okay. Sure.
I kept saying God's name, and after a few seconds, it was my voice, and the experience was over. This happened to me 4 times since, and one episode of being walked through.
Wait a minute. So he's lying in bed, nude, feeling a little frisky. He feels something go over his back
and
his buttocks.
And so he's on his stomach.
And then he starts screaming.
Jehovah.
Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah.
But like Jehovah, like in a raspy voice. And then it got normal.
Yeah, that sounds sketchy to me, but go ahead.
So it happened to me 4 times since in one episode of being walked through to another
room.
And
it was fantastic.
I'm in love. I don't sleepwalk, never have. If anyone knows what I can do to stop this or why this is happening, please let me know. Okay, and so this is a...
Where does this take place?
We don't know. We don't know where it is, but there was one response called, I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 stars.
In got your five ass. Stars. They got 5 stars, okay.
I always have that particular experience being attacked in that same way, and many more other ways, too. Many more others.
Wow.
Okay. But have these kind of supernatural experience the most of my life, so I know how to fight them back. And the most important...
And clenched buttocks is probably in the next sentence, isn't it? Is butt plug going to happen? This is so weird.
And the most important weapon for me to fight back is having no fear. How could you do that when you're afraid?
I don't know.
Okay. With no fear, they have
no power.
They feed off your fear. Anyway, my advice to you is to find a mentor who can help you harness your abilities, because most of the time these supernatural things happen to powerful people, whether you like it.
I heard there's bars where you can find people who can help you with that.
Yeah, with
in certain parts of the city. Just go and tell any attractive older man you see looking for a mentor. Something keeps attacking your backside at night.
Yeah.
And you need to do it without
fear. And you can yell out God's name.
Yes, you can yell out God's name. This is awful. Only one comment?
Yeah, that's it. Oh. So, tales from the campfire.
I'm shocked.
We have a listener email.
Yay!
Okay, this is from Lauren G.
Nice, Lauren G.
So, Lauren wrote us to be like, hey, the sound on your last episode is kind of off. And so, listeners, thank you for, getting through that with us. We had a...
Yeah, we had an emergency podcast, and we would rather bring you a little something-something than absolutely nothing at all.
Right. We don't want to leave you hanging, so thank you for...
Yeah. In the future, we may try to digitally remaster that on the B-sides.
Yes. So Lauren, she wrote us, and then she said, by the way, on the topic of Golden Girls, because we talked about Golden Girls.
Okay.
At one point.
That part came through.
Yeah. The age issue intrigued me, so I looked it up. The actresses were 63, 64 when the show started.
Except, wow.
Yeah, right?
But the mother is younger, right?
Rue McClanahan, who was 10 years younger, and Estelle Getty was around the same age as her screen daughter.
Wow.
So
they had to age her a little bit.
Yeah. Hot in Cleveland, okay, it's not a hit, but still.
It's on. You can see it.
Advertises that it's a show about 40-somethings, but Valerie Bertinelli and Jane Levy were both 50 when it started, and Wendy Malick is 10 years older.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way, because I'm approaching 40.
Yeah.
And those ladies have been around. I remember them when I was like 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Being old.
Valerie Bertinelli. Divorced Eddie Van Halen. All right, but Betty White is still playing her actual age.
Okay.
It's interesting to compare.
Which is immortal.
Right. It's interesting to compare attitudes towards all those women in their fictional dating scenes. Thanks for the laughs, Lauren. That's great.
Cool. I caught an episode of Golden Girls the other night. It's always on.
Yeah, and it's great.
It's
and
still
I love,
a really good show. And everybody watches it.
Yeah, you can watch it and you could get the ringtone to the song. I like the shows that have the theme song, like they still play out through the beginning of the song. Like you have like a few notes of a theme song.
I know what you're saying. And they play the whole thing.
Thank you for being a friend. And they go on.
There's a second verse to that. It's
yeah,
a little
it goes
known,
on.
But I heard a guy play an acoustic version of it at a show.
Really?
All right, cool.
Okay, we have some more listener feedback.
That's right.
And this was told straight to me over the phone.
Yeah.
No email.
Some listeners can't wait.
And they have to let us know.
They track us down.
I was having a great conversation with Agent Jackson from Operation Cubicle.
Which is a fantastic podcast. If you guys have not listened to it, please do so. They tackle an issue and they look at it from the office side and then from the personal side.
Right, right. So
with JP Fairchild, right?
Yeah. JP, cool. Very good. Yes. So Operation Cubicle. Go and listen to them. But he listened to our last show, and we posed a question about Ouija boards.
Oh, okay. So he was able to hear that?
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, we talked in that last show about
Ouija boards,
young girls using Ouija boards, and we threw it out there for the men.
Yeah, and we said, you know, since Ouija boards, basically it looks like girls are using them, what do guys use to summon the spirits? And he was like,
nothing.
That's pretty funny that you think Ouija boards are for girls, but okay. He said,
he was offended by our sexism.
No, I think he was more amused by our sexism.
It just seems like it to me, because I've never been in a boy sleepover, obviously.
Yeah. Well, haven't you ever been at a party and it's like either like you play spin the bottle or someone goes off into another room and they play with the Ouija board?
If there are boys there, then you want to like try to get off with them. You know what I mean? Like the closet, spin the bottle.
Yeah, you did that.
Kind of thing.
But don't, like, what if you're a little bit too, you know, a little nervous to do that? So you start with the Ouija board, so you're in the room together.
That's even creepier. Okay,
well, maybe something will happen. You have to grab each other for protection.
Ah, that's right.
Right? Anyway.
Or you'll get the chills, as the Japanese do when something horrific happens.
Right. Yeah.
And you'll fall into a man's arm.
That's right.
And you'll drop your kerchief.
Yeah, so Agent Jackson offered an alternative that guys can do. And he said, I know it was used in the movies and Winona Ryder did it, but you chant.
Okay.
You say Beetlejuice, three times.
That makes sense. That's more of a guy thing to do.
That's more, yeah. And Candyman. You say it, and then, so you chant a little, and that will bring something. So that's more of a masculine way to summon a spirit.
Okay. It's kind of like a football chant.
It's not,
but for the spirits. It's like, give me a G, give me an H, give me an OST kind of thing. What does it spell? Thank you, Agent Jackson.
That's awesome.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. So I have a little reality TV follow-up roundup.
Okay.
So reality TV roundup is where we take, usually me actually, I find reality shows on TV.
Oh, you do?
And then I report on them. So remember we talked about the Million Second Quiz and we didn't know what the hell was going on.
There are a million seconds.
Okay, so the Million Second Quiz, it says here, it's a state-of-the-art electrifying new live competitions where contestants test the limits of their knowledge and endurance. It's 12 consecutive days and nights. Remember, it's 24 hours a day and they're in this hourglass structure in Manhattan. So I had to find out what the real deal for this was. So I went on to a website. Apparently NBC has been forced to explain themselves. So according to Paul Telegdy, NBC's president of alternative and late night programming, and probably tentative at best, the show is actually, quote unquote, mind-blowingly simple when you lay it out.
Oh,
So, and it's going to feel more current than today's reality shows.
I'm ready for my mind to be blown.
Put on the helmet.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. Before the quiz begins, wannabe contestants line up beneath an enormous hourglass in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And it's referred to as the structure. Two people go in for a round of trivia. They draw lots to see who will sit in the money chair. That's the hot seat. So then the longer you can stay in the hot seat, answer the trivia questions correctly, the more cash he or she will win.
Okay.
If you're in the money chair in this big-ass hourglass somewhere in Manhattan in where everybody can see you.
Yeah.
If you win, you get to move to like a leaderboard somewhere in this hourglass. And you will be able to stay there with four other people 24 hours a day, living a slightly clockwork orange and Orwellian existence. That's what he says. But this sounds awful. In full view of everyone in Manhattan. They're going to actually build the hourglass, and four people are going to live in it at a time in Manhattan somewhere. And we'll be able to watch. We can play along at home or on
our
phone.
In our own hourglasses?
Yes. Yes. And here's the best part of it. Every night when it's on prime time, someone from a local affiliate is going to show up at someone's house and tell them that they're now able to be on the show. So if you're playing along at home,
you just expect a knock on the door.
You just expect a knock on the door.
So look nice, people.
Yes.
At all times.
And the because they don't want people to stop ever watching the show, some of the questions are going to be about the commercials
during
the show and about current events. So as people are living inside the hourglass, are you okay? Okay. As people are living inside the hourglass, they're going to be watching TV, listening to the radio, like going online, because the questions are going to be about things that are happening. This is a pilot. They want to be able to do this show whenever. So they want to be able to do it around Christmas time if they need to fill in things before the Olympics, after the Olympics. It says their Arbor Day. Like anytime. This is an experiment. So anytime programming is slow, NBC is threatening to trot out the million second quiz. And it's going to run for 12 days.
Oh my God. That sounds
terrible.
That sounds like a burden.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like fun.
But they're going to, I haven't seen this hourglass yet. It's supposed to be in the fall. We got to keep an eye out for it. This is so bizarre to me. I thought it was kind of like just an idea, but they're actually going to try to do this shit, NBC. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck to them.
Awful.
It sounds terrible. Paul Telegdy. Let's keep an eye out for his name.
Yeah.
In the unemployment rolls.
Looking hard for that.
All right, discount.
Discount.
So, Discount Celebrity is back. We haven't done one in a while. Discount Celebrity is where we, you know, times are still tough in Hollywood. It's casting is very, very clear on that. Look at what's out there, people, nowadays. I couldn't even see the Will Smith movie. It's gone already.
What?
Pacific Rim Job. I'm going to check that out, though.
Everybody is saying Pacific Rim Job. Everybody.
Everyone is saying it?
Yeah.
It's that bad. Okay. So, anyway, times are tight in Hollywood. We want to help casting directors out. When you cannot afford your A-lister, for example, you can't afford Eddie Murphy.
No.
Well, your D-lister.
No.
You get Chris Rock. No.
No,
who
you
was
don't.
That A-lister?
No.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Okay. So, when you can't afford Eddie Murphy, and let's be honest, you don't want to, you still have a chance to get Chris Tucker. So, we're giving you discounts, people, where you need them. So,
that's
Katie
right.
has prepared for us today. Is this a three-way?
This is a special three-way.
Okay, cool.
It's submitted from Kathleen from ABC Gotham.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Kathleen sent me a message saying, I have a triple discount.
Okay.
If you dare to.
If we go that way, and
right.
we do.
Me too. And so, we're going to start off with our A-lister.
Okay.
And it involves...
Are these people we've seen before? Are these new folks to the ring?
No, these are people we've seen before.
Okay.
And we've talked actually about Michael J. Fox as the A-lister and how Jason Bateman was his B.
Yeah. Although he's coming up.
He's coming up. He's coming up strong.
Yeah.
But we also have a...
Over your back.
We have a C-lister, which is Jerry O'Connell. We talked about Jerry O'Connell, too, but not in this particular three-way configuration.
Okay, so let's break it down.
So Michael J. Fox is still top. He's still 5 foot 4.5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, and he was on Family Ties, in the Back to the Future. Everybody knows those movies.
Mm-hmm. Secret of My Success.
Yeah.
Spin City.
Did very well, then got Parkinson's disease, and he had a... You know,
he's still really active.
He's very active, and
he's more active than I am, and I don't have anything. So
he's a vegetarian.
He's married to Tracy.
Tracy
Pollan.
Yeah, Pollan. I thought you meant like your. I thought it was Pollard at first.
No,
I was like, aha, Pollan.
And it is.
It is. And she met, and he met her on the set of Family Ties.
That's right. Her breath smelled bad. He made a comment,
and
a
like,
match was made.
Right. He's a longtime friend of Dennis Leary.
I can't. He's like the most negative person, and then the most positive person. What the a same friendship! Time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you meant just Dennis Leary.
No, Michael J. Fox is incredibly charismatic and positive, and Dennis Leary just think he would blow smoke at you. Although I like Dennis
Leary. I like Dennis Leary and his
I imagine them together.
I saw him live.
Now, whenever I think of Dennis Leary, though, I think of his character from Ice Age.
My friend waited on him, and he left his sunglasses on the table, and she took them.
Of course.
So
don't leave your shit behind.
No, never.
Okay.
Especially you, Dennis Leary.
So Michael J. Fox is the A.
He's the A. Okay. Yeah, and he's Canadian.
Big ups.
Okay, and Jason Bateman is the B-lister, and he is...
Yeah. And folks, if you don't know anything about Jason Bateman, you have not been listening to this podcast. Right.
So we have broken Jason Bateman down in a million pieces.
Yeah, we have into a pulp.
Deconstructed him.
We've made quick work of him. We've made a tasty meal out of a morsel.
We used all the parts like the Native Americans.
Yes,
did.
We used every part of the Bateman.
He's 5'11".
Okay.
All right.
You may know him from Horrible Bosses.
Yes. Or from Dodgeball.
Or from Dodgeball. He had a small part there as Pepper Brooks.
Yeah.
Sportscaster. And then SBN, the Ocho.
And so then we got Jerry O'Connell, who's 6'2".
Yes. And who was in Piranhas. Is
he was
that correct?
In Piranhas. He was in Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates that movie because he was chunky in it.
Well, that's not their fault. I mean, take a little personal responsibility.
He doesn't hate, I guess he doesn't like looking at it. But he thought it was cool to be in it when he was 11 years old and he was allowed to swear.
So okay, that is like, cool.
And he worked with River Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Other shows he's been in are Sliders and Crossing Jordan.
Okay.
And he's married to Rebecca Romijn.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it seems like she's been marrying a lot of people. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah, right. John Stamos. And
how old is Rebecca Romijn?
We don't know. Nobody
she's
knows.
She's timeless. She's the same age as Betty White. Immortal.
Right.
So he is the... How do these guys stack up on the percentage? The
percentage is... Well, you know, as you had mentioned before, Jason Bateman is eclipsing Michael J. Fox.
He might.
No.
No?
The news is no. Because you know what's happening? Michael J. Fox is coming out with a new series this fall on NBC. And it is written by, you won't believe this, the same guy that wrote Arrested Development in Cougar Town. Sam somebody.
Sam the bird of him. Same
but see, so somebody that writes for Jason Bateman is also writing for Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
And now this show is inspired in part by the actor's real life.
It's going to have to be.
He's going
to
be like a husband and father of three in New York City dealing with a family career and challenges including Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm. He's the former child star Michael J. Fox. Okay.
So he's doing this. Yeah, it's coming out in the fall.
Which station?
NBC. Oh, I'm extremely pleased to be back at NBC with a great creative team and great show.
They made him say that. NBC, the same people who bring you the million second friggin' quiz. I bet you that's one of the questions. What's happening this fall on NBC? Tick, tick,
I know.
Tick.
I keep seeing the word Fox. I'm like, is it on Fox? I'm like, oh, that's his name.
That's bad for NBC. Can you change your name?
Yeah, please.
Can you change it to something else like Wolf? Something that's less evocative of the network that we're against?
I was like, the thing here says, it's pretty bold and brave of Fox to put out even more of his personal, I was like, yeah, his personal life, okay.
Okay. And not Fox.
And not Fox.
The wildly successful and humorous TV channel.
That's right.
That eclipses NBC.
Right. So we have very a discount. Cool. So the discount would be, I'm going to say in this, that you can get...
Michael J. Fox is 100%. So that's going to make it easy
that's
for
it.
Us.
That's it. You're not going to get a discount. There's no coupons in the mail.
Yeah.
There's no silk purse.
No, you have to watch the commercials.
Yeah.
Satin purse. Free satin tote bag.
Yeah. And then I guess you're going to get Jason Bateman at a 75.
Really?
Yeah.
That much so? And then what is there
not
anything?
Not a 75. I'm sorry. 25% discount off there.
I'm like, is there anything left for Jerry O'Connell?
Just like put her hand to her chest. Like
that was verklempt.
Yeah. 25% off for that. And Jerry O'Connell is 65% off still.
Nothing for Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah,
I
off Michael J. Fox.
So thank you very much, Kathleen.
It was awesome.
Very well done. We could use
a week in Bateman.
A week in Bateman.
Okay.
So Jason Bateman is an actor who we deeply profoundly respect.
Yes.
Now that he's a member of the Academy, we hold him in the highest honor.
He's still decent.
He's still decent. He's a decenter.
And
we like to report on what he's doing.
We're not sexually attracted
to
him.
No, not at all.
We're not in love with him.
I don't care how many statuettes he has in his home.
No.
I don't want a piece of him. So we're going to report on him. This is our segment called The Week in Bateman.
What does Jason Bateman do in June?
I think he goes to the Grove in Beverly Hills.
Close. It says Jason Bateman and his fam hit the farm.
His fam? Is that you? Did they say that?
No, I didn't. They said
that. They said fam?
The title is, and I'm reading it as written.
Okay.
Jason Bateman and his fam hit the farmer's market. Exclamation point.
I was just there a couple weeks ago. I did not see Jason Bateman.
No.
But ironically...
Because, he was in Studio City.
That's right. A friend of mine said that they were in the farmer's market and they saw someone carrying, that's funny, you didn't sound black on the phone, tote bag.
No!
It wasn't Jason Bateman, though.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah. No, it wasn't me. It was a white woman.
Really?
So you know it's not me. Plus, I wasn't in the state. Anyway, so what...
No kidding!
Yeah,
congratulations!
She saw someone. Yes, I've been cited by someone.
Wow!
Yeah, my that's tote awesome. Bags. You give away a free tote bag, people.
Who does?
I do.
When?
For my show. We should do tote bags. Would people like
I didn't get
them?
A tote bag from you.
I thought I gave you one.
I give you bags all the time and you don't
I didn't give you one?
No.
Would you feel comfortable carrying it? It has my head on the side. It has me drinking a glass of scotch. It says, that's funny, you didn't sound black on the phone. You really going to walk with that? You really going to walk with that? Like, you haven't had enough. It's not enough.
What would happen to me as a white woman walking around with funny? You didn't sound black on the phone.
I don't know. Let's find out. This woman was white. She my friends are. Said she looked quite happy. So maybe that's what happens. Okay. You cheer up. Anyway, so he was at the farmer's market.
Yeah, it says, looking good. Oh, sorry. No, good looking family coming through. Mm-hmm. Jason Bateman and his family were recently spotted in Studio City checking out the farmer's market. And they looked adorable. And so he is in long shorts. Like past his knee.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a t-shirt on with faces on it, and he's holding some kind of snack. And then he's...
To which Katie seems to disapprove.
Yeah. It's like in paper. I don't know what it is. And he's pushing a stroller with little maple.
Yeah.
And then the
maple
other...
Maple syrup.
And then the... That's his daughter.
And then the other one that no one cares about.
And we can't even remember her name.
Fred. It's like the other one.
Yeah, she's got like ponytails and she has a drink. She has a beverage.
Mm-hmm. Is it larger than the prescribed Bloomberg 32 ounce?
Well, they're free to have whatever
size
they want.
They're in, on the West Coast, you can drink whatever you want until 2 a.m.
She's just walking. And then his wife, Amanda Anka Bateman, mm-hmm. is carrying a bunch of freshly cut flowers with no flower. Just looks like a bunch of stems.
Like Adam's, Adam.
Yeah. Family style.
Is she wearing a dress that's so tight at the bottom that she has to shuffle along with her little feet?
Close. But she has two big tote bags, but none of them must say funny. You didn't sound black on the phone.
That's what's missing.
Couldn't she? She should have had that.
Plug. Cool. All so right. Jason Bateman, once again, shopping with his family at a farmer's market. This guy, he never ceases to amaze.
Awesome.
Never. So I found a small piece here. It says house hunters increasingly concerned about ghosts and cows.
And cows?
So it says a survey of independent estate agents, this is Scotland, said 19% of people, when they were viewing properties, asked about ghosts, if there are any ghosts already living in the property.
How many people?
19% of all people.
Oh, okay.
12% ask about cows.
Do they ask the race of the ghost?
Yes, it is. Is the ghost Jewish? That's all we want to know. And then only 13%... ask what is included in the price. So a haunting is more important than what's included in the price of the biggest asset I'm ever going to buy. And then only 6% ask about the neighbors. Are they Jewish?
Oh my God.
I can't believe it. If I'm showing someone a house and they say, is there a ghost here? I have to really consider what I'm going to say next. Mm-hmm. And how vociferously I can say hell no without making them feel, but really?
That's so funny.
And then the next question is, are there cows?
Are there cows?
Are there cows nearby? I don't know. 12% want to know if there are cows. 19% want to know if they have a ghost.
I need to know if there's a cow.
And the race of the ghost we add in. Because if you're asking about the paranormal, clearly you have issues. And then 13% want to know about the price. And then 6% need to know who lives next door. Isn't that the first thing you want to know is who lives around here?
Yeah. Who lives around here? How are the schools?
Yeah, how are the schools? Then maybe cows?
Yeah, where's the power lines?
And then finally, then maybe not ever ghosts.
Does this house have air conditioning? There's a big one. There's a huge multi, like, I think, however, $200 million home.
That with no selling, air?
No air conditioning.
I don't think so. And that's and where we
they,
draw the line.
And they wouldn't show pictures of the kitchen either because it needs to be remodeled.
Really? What, does it have like a fantastic foyer?
It's in Connecticut on the water, so it's like...
No AC?
No AC.
You know what? Make it happen.
Yeah.
For a cool mill, or cooler mill, I should say. That's insane. Why would they not have that?
I don't know.
If only one bathroom as well.
Yeah, one bathroom.
It's a half it's bath. You could just do a whore's bath. You just, you know.
In the sink.
In the sink. Quickly just throw it up on yourself, the water, the soap. I just wanted to bring this up as a hey, you didn't know it. Every once in a while, we have to report on the news of the oblivious
living among us.
Yes, and this is some international hey, you didn't know it. I just clipped this from the Wall Street Journal, which is my onion. And it says here, on Northern Korean ship, missile parts buried under sacks of Cuban sugar.
What?
Who knew?
What are you talking about?
So it's a police inspect bags of sugar on the Cheongcheonggang, which was detained in Panama. So apparently a North Korean, the Cubans were trying to ship sugar.
At supposedly. The Mia Flores lots that you and I have been to.
Yes, for our beloved Panama.
Yes.
They were trying to ship some innocent shipment of sugar to North Korea. And lo and behold.
For the children.
Lo and behold. This is the cheese right here. Underneath some of the sacks of Cuban sugar, boom, a missile part.
I can't believe that.
I'm sorry, but you didn't know that people were going to check a ship that's going from Cuba to North Korea? Like, really? Havana said, look, the parts are obsolete. They're old. This is an old missile.
It's just...
Don't worry about it.
It's hard. It's barely a missile.
Yeah, it's barely anything. And then they have a picture here, and it just shows...
It's embarrassing.
This huge...
It's so old.
Huge missile parts. And then just some sugar. Some sacks some bags of sugar. Of sugar like, on top of it, like, no one's gonna friggin' know. Come on.
It's like a person walking by with, like a branch in front of them. Like, and then they... Like, oh, well, I'm behind a bush.
What were they thinking? This is just rude and embarrassing. You know, next time, guys, I don't know. Hide it. Maybe don't take it through the Miraflores locks. I don't know. Like, it just really, because Cuba is shipping just some sugar to North Korea.
They just want, you know.
They need sweetness over there.
And isn't there some kind
they're
of...
They're tired of the bitter taste of dictatorship. And they want it, you know, to sweeten the deal a little bit. This is just sad.
That's real.
How do these guys make it through the Cold War? How? Come on now, Cuba.
Nobody knows for sure.
Really?
Cuba? Come on.
Come on. Get it together. We could have gotten this missile part through easier.
Come on.
In our luggage.
Where's Castro when you need him?
Exactly. That's the problem. And that's our international and political, hey, you didn't know it. It's the worst way to smuggle things. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they didn't try to shoot it over there. That would have been the other worst way. Just launch it. No one will know. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks! Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
So, no, because this is more on it, because we talked about it, what it was. So, basically, these people are going to be in this hourglass. Why are you whispering? I can always cut it out. What?